concept, and they can't put it in effect. It's such a novel concept that it makes it impossible for them to use it. And there are a lot of companies that do have outside training programs that come in and help train their people. But Nikan is the only one that I'm aware of that has it as a built-in part of their culture from the very beginning. And what it demonstrates, you see, I think that it comes back to that old saying that most of you have probably heard by now. It says nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And because of that concept being ingrained and such an integral part of Nikan, people can really understand and get the feeling that there is a company that cares about them and their growth and their progress and their success. And I know that's true. In fact, it's really interesting. Most of you, I'm sure, are all familiar with Robert Kiyosaki and his Rich Dad, Poor Dad bestseller. He wrote that book later called The Business School for People Who Love Helping People. And in that book, he makes a concept. He says everybody ought to have at least a 5 to 10 year experience in network marketing, regardless of what their career is. And then he goes on to point out what it is they're able to learn from a network marketing experience. And then he says something that the Nikan people have, well, they have the bottom line on it, as far as I'm concerned. He says, when you're evaluating a company, it isn't the product, it isn't the compensation plan. It's what you need to ask them is, what is your program for personal growth and development? And there's no one that even comes close to what the Nikan opportunity is. And that's really what makes a difference, because the key is not what you can do yourself. It's, you probably heard that old story, J. Paul Getty said, you know, I'd rather have 1% of 100 people than 100% of myself. And I think that's really true in this business, because as you get an opportunity to introduce people to a cause, if you will, something that can really change the planet, then they can get excited about what they're doing, and they develop leadership, and really this whole program is about giving people the opportunity to become leaders and develop leadership skills. I personally feel that's the bottom line of the business. Now, it helps when you have a very unique product that everybody wants and nobody has, and that you have a compensation plan that is a second to none in the industry. But the bottom line is, what does it do for people? I don't know if that makes much sense or not to you, but boy, for me, that's a whole heart message that we want to deliver.
Larry, you've been around the industry for a long time. My personal take is that Nikan is such a different pedigree from most of the other companies that are designed the last 3 or 4 years, and there are some very fine companies, but just in general, I've always viewed Nikan as a career, not something that you're in and out of and then jump to another thing. If you were one of us recruiting in the field, people always say, would you lead with the product? Do you lead with the business? I hear that call all the time, and then you hear people say, well, should I lead with, you know, the body balance? Should I lead with the magnet? Should I lead with the osteotent? You know, we have so many tools. Sometimes people can look at them and get kind of frozen in the headlights. If you were going to go build this tomorrow, and you've built these successfully, and you've been around, what would you do? What would be your strategy for building these?
Well,
started tomorrow?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I've made, you know, one of the reasons that I think I can help people in this business is I've made all the mistakes. I can tell you what not to do. I have gone that route where I thought everybody ought to get involved for the same reason I got involved, and then I find out that they didn't even have the same interests I had. I developed a little technique that just absolutely transformed my business years ago, and you've heard this statement. I know you have, Rick, and most of the people on the call have probably heard. People do things for their reasons, not yours. And so what my job is to create a relationship that will allow me to find out what it is they really want to have happening. Here's the thing, though. Some of you may know I'm an engineer by background, which means I've taken a lot of exams over the years. And one thing I've discovered is it's a lot easier to answer multiple choice than it is an essay question. And so here's my point. Is when I'm in a conversation with somebody, I need to find out what they'd really like to do. And I used to ask it this way. I says, you know, as you know, I'm involved in a network marketing thing, and let me ask you this. What would you really, if you got involved, what would you like to have it do for you? And then you get that teenage response where they kind of look at you and say, I don't know. So I developed a multiple Joyce questioned to it, and I says, and I hand him a little card, and I says, you know, I'm involved in a network marketing business. I don't know how familiar you are with that, but you know, people get involved in our business for a lot of different reasons. Take a look at this list, and there's 10 of them here, and tell me which one jumps out at you as the most important one if you were to get involved. And it goes from having your own business, extra income, leave a legacy, personal development, more spare time, retirement, freedom, meet new people, help others. And they pick the one that they want. And then it's easy for me to get in a conversation with them, because if they say they want to help others, or if they want to... See, here's my point of view. Right now, with the financial crisis the country's in and what's happening around the world, really, more people are suffering from financial pain than are probably even suffering from physical pain. And so if I don't allow them to tell me that they would like to hear about extra income or more spare time or some freedom, then I may be leading with a sleep system, which is not really what they want to hear about at this moment. They want to know, how can I gain some freedom or more spare time or this extra income? I got involved personally for $200 extra a month. I didn't even really care what the product was. I just needed a vehicle that would provide me some extra income. Well, then what happens is they can then give me a direction. In other words, what I'm saying is, for me, our most important product is our business opportunity. It was really interesting. We just had all the leaders, most of the leaders together there in California, and their comment was, never before have they had so many business executives asking them more about their business, because they're, you know, with what's happening, the fear factor is really there. What I thought was a good secure job is not secure, so please tell me about something that will provide me some security.
You actually made a card like that, Larry, with all this question. You what for? Is that like a handout, or what kind of a card?
Yeah, it's a little card. I just let them look at. I don't hand it out to them. I just say, which one jumps out at you? And then I ask them, why did you pick that one? Why is that important? What are the consequences if you don't have that? And why does that worry you?
And
in the process, it allows me to get in a little bit into their head and find out where their heart is and what their fears are, because that's, you know, J. Douglas Edwards used to make this statement about real estate. He says, you didn't buy the varying grades of lumber in that house and the different types of nails and the grades of carpet in that house. You probably bought, the guy bought a big garage and the mom bought a kitchen. The rest of the house came free. And I see that's what happens. If they'll tell me what it is they want to buy, their reasons for getting involved, everything else comes free. It's just a part of the deal, the support system, all that kind of thing. And I know that this is so critical. The old cycle of motivation, discovering what it is they want and the problem standing in the way. So many times I was busy trying to sell them something before I even, or they even understood that they had a problem standing in the way. Now, it may be the sleep system is what they want. It may be, you know, the osteodense, or it could be the back flex that gets them involved because of some immediate problems. But that's just the door into it. The rest of it then will be a part of it that needs to be emphasized, depending on what they say they want. Here's the other thing I've discovered, Rick, and I know you know this is true too. Most of us, and I think that's probably 95% of us, don't really know what it is we really want. And that's why these calls you're having, that's why this event that you're having, that's why they're so important, because they get a chance to rub shoulders with other people. They get a chance to discover other people like themselves, but they also see people who are dreaming dreams much bigger than they thought were even possible. And when they see these other people dreaming bigger dreams, then they understand we really are in the dream building business. And so my idea, the way I would do it now is to just enter the door with what it is they want to buy, and then once we're in the door, help them just fan the flames to their dreams. I really see our businesses. We're in the business of building dreams for people who have forgotten how to dream.
That's awesome. What do you guys, you might have, somebody had a question a second ago. I heard somebody say Mr. Prophet, but somebody like to ask something real quick? I know I heard of Mr. Prophet in there.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that, Rick. It's like that. You probably heard me tell the story about the little girl who was asked to give a book report on penguins, and she took this big book back home the next day. Her book report was only one paragraph long. It said, "This book tells more about penguins than I care to know." So sometimes the questions you ask, you may get more than you care to know.
I just heard somebody say, what's the question?
Larry, this is Steve King in Waco. I was going to ask if you could repeat those choices one more time.
Well, let me ask you, Larry, would you help me put one of those
Rick
together?
I think Rick has a list of them. Rather than me just repeating them, I think that if you want them, we can email them to you.
Yeah, Larry, I don't have that anymore. Would you send me those, and then I would love to get that. Would you guys be interested?
Yeah, I would do that, because it isn't just the 10 items. The other part of it is the questions that you ask them about it. But you know, just to briefly tell you what they are, one of them is have your own business. How many people today are losing jobs that would just really love to have their own business today? And yet a lot of the people who have their own businesses, they got it to have freedom, and what have they discovered? So somebody who has their own business obviously is not going to ask that. He's going to probably say freedom. You know?
Right.
But I got involved. The second one on here is just extra income. And for some of us, that's just an extra $200 a month. What could an extra $200 a month, if you put it on your mortgage, we wouldn't even need the bailout today if the whole country had just had an extra $200 a month. Well, the other one, and this to me is what happened. This is what the Dave Johnsons in the world are about, and Rick Murphy's are, leave a legacy. You know, this is a way to change the world, and this is something that people are going to remember about years, long after they've forgotten your name. They're going to remember the legacy. And for some folks who have, especially some of the folks who have been involved in network marketing companies before, they understand that this Niken thing is such a bigger deal. So many ways of developing that part of it. But there's others who understand this thing that Kiyosaki's talking about. The fourth thing on here is personal development, personal growth. And it's interesting because that doesn't just come from seminars or workshops or two-day classes. This comes from setting a goal and accomplishment, organizing my day, understanding how important commitment is. In the class, we talk about a thing called intention plus mechanism equals results. And learning those concepts of life really are what personal development is about. And it's been, you know, it's funny. One person, I've joked about this for years. I worked for General Electric for a number of years as an engineer. And I've talked about how my counselor said, well, this will look good on your resume. And that's the reason to go to work for that company. And then I thought years later, you know, you put on your resume, I had 10 years experience at General Electric, when in reality, all I had is 1 year experience 10 different times. And many people in corporate America really understand when you talk about that, because it was not 10 years experience. Well, in the Niken business, you can have 10 years experience in 1 year. When it comes to personal growth and personal development, I mean, it's powerful. Now, there's another thing that I've discovered. There are so many people working at 2 to 3 jobs. How many of them are in our neighborhoods today just trying to make ends meet? And they just don't have time. What is it, that old story? They're so busy making a living, they don't have time to live. And so the fifth thing on here is just more spare time. Some time. I love the poster that they have in the Niken office there that says, here's the father with his son at a ball game. And the slogan under it says, he's only 8 once.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. What a message. Well, then there's those of us who are up in the 60s and 70s and finding out that some of the companies that we had our 401ks and our retirement policies in are not there. And so we're concerned about making sure we have a retirement income that's secure and that's going to be a residual basis that's going to continue to happen over and over. But it's funny for me, and I think that it's probably a maturity cycle for a lot of people. When they really look at the list, the eighth one is probably the biggest one, and that's just simply freedom. What would it take just to be free? And for a lot of people, that's the bottom line why they even get involved in the business. But there's others, and some of them, the last one on here is just simply meet new people. And it's funny how many homemakers have gotten involved in our business because they want a chance to talk adult talk at least once a week. get out of the house once in a while, or some people have moved into a new area. just want to make some new friends. What a great way of doing that. But I think the bottom one is also one that grabs a lot of us. It just means helping others. It's funny, Rick, you've heard me say this. There's a book called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And in that book, he makes one of the most powerful statements, I think, that that really applies to what we're talking about. And can any of us who have had somebody, I just had a friend of mine last week tell me, you know, he had that burning, terrible sensation in his feet. He put the Mag Steps in, and he doesn't have that problem anymore. And he now has a friend that he really wants to get a pair of the Mag Steps because she's having a terrible time with her. And I know what will happen for him when he is instrumental in getting her a pair of Mag Steps and she solves that problem. He's going to experience one of those best feelings. And in the book, here's the feeling he describes. He says, there are few rewards in life that bring more joy to a human being than bringing joy to the life of another human being. And for me, that's really the bottom line of what we're about, and you can't, because we have so many ways of doing it, from product experiences to these items we're talking about, the freedom to do what they want to do, the dreams start to fire again. And when you find, I had a 75-year-old guy tell me here 2 weeks ago that the reason he'd gotten involved is because he'd lost his passion. And he says, I missed that. And I just wanted to find something I could get passionate about again, because he says that's going to help me live longer. I thought that was really a neat comment.
It is. And you know, I tell you, I can hear people's minds working out there, because I really want to employ this list of questions with people. I think everybody will get a lot out of it. When you would meet people, how would you approach them with this list? I remember what you told us in the past, but would you share with everybody? Okay,
well,
you were building.
The first thing I would do when I meet somebody, and let's assume that this is somebody I don't know, is I'm just going to say, I'm going to ask him, how are you doing? What are you doing? What is your work here? What do you do? What do you like best about it? Tell me about it. What don't you like about it? And I'm going to get inside their world first, so that then of course, eventually what they'll do is ask me, what do you do? But this is the thing that I think that most of the new people have the most difficult time with, and that is when somebody says to them, you know, after they've told you all the things that they're doing with their work, they say, well, what do you do?
Right.
And that is a stopper for some folks, because some of us say, well, I sell magnets, or I'm involved in network marketing, or, well, what I've discovered is, based on what he was telling me about what he likes and doesn't like and so forth, and let's say it was somebody who just was working two jobs, he said, well, I'm involved with a company that helps people have more spare time. Or I'm involved with a company that helps people be free to do the things they want to do. Or, in other words, what do you do is not, you don't sell magnets, you're not involved in that network marketing. What you're involved is a people business. And so learning how to tell them what you do in terms of what it can do for them is really what it's all about. And so it's a little 30-second or less than 30 seconds when people say, what do you do, that the real statement comes down to what this statement is. It says, leadership, is the essence of leadership is the enthusiastic communication of your vision. And what I've discovered is the way we answer that question, what do you do, depends on the size of our vision. And so the number one thing, I mean, I don't care what it is, for everybody getting involved in this business, the number one most important thing is to build the vision of what it is you're about. And then the best way to do that is when you're asking people questions about what do they do in their life and what are the problems they're experiencing, the challenges they have, you start to understand, boy, they can accomplish that with what I do. And every time I talk to somebody about what they're going on through in their life. I talked to an airline pilot. We asked him, why did you get involved with NICEN? And he said, well, I have to take an examination every year before I can fly the next year. And he says, I know someday I'm not going to pass that examination. Well, I want to be able to fly even after I flunk the examination. And he says, I figure the way to do that is to have my own airplane. That's why I got involved. And I thought, you know, that changed my vision. Just him sharing that with me said, well, yeah, that makes sense. And that, to me, was a big eye-opener. So building our vision about what it is we really do, I think, is the key.
So it's, you're saying that, too. When someone says, what do? A lot of people give off that energy that they're, and they almost feel like they're trying to get someone to do something. When you say, I'm a network marketer, in your mind you feel like you're trying to get them to do something. If you can turn it around and say, I help people retire, or I help people, you know, become more healthy, the whole energy changes, Larry, because you're giving something rather than feeling like you're trying to take something.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's a real key thing, because when we're trying to, if we're trying to manipulate people or we're trying to get them to buy our deal, rather than find a way to be of service to them, there are some people that we just know ahead of time that Ken is not for them. Well, I haven't found too many. I mean, maybe they're in a coma in intensive care or something, but there are folks that they don't know this is for them, and so to start trying to convince them they need to buy it before they know they need it is really a tough road to hoe.
Well, let me ask you this on the back side now. We talked about the front side. A lot of people on the call will meet a lot of people, and of course we have our process, which basically you meet them, and we have one of the things we do on one of our calls is your 30-second catchphrase. And then we have an ABC, then it goes to a preview, then it goes to sponsoring, pretty much the universal process. A lot of people meet a lot of people, and a lot of people get them involved. How important, and this is obviously a softball question, how important is follow-up, and then how does that translate to actually getting somebody? One of my favorite things about gold training, and you remember, you used to do all the gold training, you remember the real late nights, Larry, we'd go till 2 in the morning, and we'd play Stump Larry, and you would stay up there till we had no more questions. And at the end of every question, you would say, okay, will that be cash, credit, or charge?
Yeah.
And why did you do that, first of all? What were you trying to impart to us? And how important is follow-up? And when we say closing, a lot of people get freaked out like they're trying to sell something. What do you mean when I say to you closing or getting it on paper? How do you follow up? And do we close people in NECAP?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because my own metaphor for this, and I used to use this, you probably saw me do it in the gold training, where I said, see that door over there? And it was the door to the room. It was obviously closed. I said, will you go over there and close that door? And they said, it's closed. I said, will you go over there and close it? And finally, what they discover, when they walk over there, before they can close the door, what do they have to do? They have to open it. And now they can close the door. Well, the metaphor is before you can ever close, and that's just a sales term we use, they have to have that person open. Well, here's what happens with most, and we're all to a certain degree, is that sometimes we need to be led to decisions, help to make a decision. Sometimes the decisions are overwhelming as far as the number of them, and so sometimes it's a matter of, well, based on what you've told me, Rick, here's what I'd suggest. And then let them, you know, always give them two choices. Which one would make the most sense for you right now is a closing question. Well, the reason I like to do that is, boy, if my sponsor hadn't done that for me, I still might be thinking about whether to get involved or not. You know? And so some guidance. But here's the deal. It's that old story. And Mr. Masuda and Mr. Watanabe have emphasized this from the very beginning. The most important message is the heart message. If you really feel now that you've talked to them and that this program is something that they can really benefit from, and you're feeling it from your heart, then saying, here's what I'd suggest, they know it's coming from your heart because you care about them. It's, again, let me reiterate, it says nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And so before I can guide anybody to a closing decision, they have to know that I have their interests, their best interests in my heart. Or it won't work. And other than that is a manipulation, and people sense it and they back off and give us all kinds of excuses why they need more time to think about it, even because they somehow are not convinced that we really care about them. Now, at the same time, I really believe that one of the most important skills we can learn in this business is storytelling, and that starts with our own personal story about what we went through and what were the challenges we were facing and why we decided that Niken might be right for us and what were the challenges we experienced as we got involved. And you don't have to tell the whole story right at the first of it, but every time somebody has it, and you were talking about follow-up, one of the most important things about the follow-up is to catch them when they've had a discouraging event occur. But I really want to reiterate something about that. I just got back from Bogota, Colombia. And, oh, boy, talk about an inspiring group of people. They're marvelous. Those distributors in Colombia are just doing some marvelous things. But I was doing a leadership training for about 200 of them. And one of the ladies held up her hand to question Simon and said, "What can I do to motivate my downline?" And it was funny because ordinarily with my engineering background, I was going to give her a 12-step formula. But what came to me was simply this: you can't. She said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You can't motivate anybody. No matter what we say, we don't motivate other people. The motivation has to come from within." Now, my stories and those examples that I can give may inspire those people, but I know now more than ever than I've ever known why Mr. Masuda wanted to make sure the humans being more training was incorporated from the very beginning, and in the initial stages, nobody could even become a distributor unless they went to that training. And one of the reasons is, guess what? Guess what they discover in that class, and it's what it is they really, really, really want. And that is what motivates people. And so once we can get in tune with what they want to have happening in their life, that's the follow-up. How you doing and your progress towards that? You know, I really believe that if every follow-up discussion I can remind people of their life cycle plans and what their dreams are and how they're progressing towards that, then the motivation happens from within. And I know that's one of the things that I've been counseling now ever from my own experience. That's the thing that I would emphasize to everybody. Get them into that class as soon as you can, because now you're no longer pushing a string. It is pretty hard to push a string across a table if anybody's tried that.
Right.
And so that whole people are only as good as they know how to be. Yeah, that's important. And as they want to be. And you got to have both of them.
How important?
That's why your calls are so important.
How important, Larry, is having given yourself permission that Niken is a gift and feeling good about what we do in the sense that, hey, you know, we're not trying to take anything from anybody. We're given this thing here. Do you think that might be the key to successful recruiting, where that might be the X factor?
In fact, I wish I could remember the author's name. His whole point in the book that he wrote is, once you understand that what you are offering is a gift, then your whole parameter changes, your whole frame of reference changes, your whole way of talking to people changes, and you no longer are begging and hoping that people get involved, because what you understand is this is a gift, and unless they're going to be able to handle it like the treasure it is, that pearl of great price, if you will, unless they understand that, and unless I understand that, I mean, your point, I think, Rick, is so important. If I understand how wonderful the gift is, and I do a little evaluation occasionally, because I really understand that depending on how I feel about what it is I'm offering, how can I even hope that people will take advantage of it? That's why the ABC, I think, is so important. That's why these calls that you're doing, where you're helping the new person who may not have that conviction level yet. But here's the thing, Rick. I think that if all of us had this experience, if we could all just get a check for $400,000 next month, how easy would it be to talk to people?
Very.
You know, in other words, when I have not yet received my big check, sometimes I'm still hoping. But boy, when I've got that check, I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about this business, and I understand it truly is a gift, and I say, boy, you're going to have to qualify to get this gift.
Right.
And so my whole parameter changes, and I'm no longer in a begging or hoping position.
Sorry, it sounds like that'll echo. I'm not quite sure why. I apologize for that. Let me ask you this, Larry. When someone says, and this is, I hear this all the time, I can get people interested in maybe the product, but I have a heck of a time talking about the business. Is that a matter of prospects don't want the business, or is that a matter of you feeling
because I forgot what the gift was. You know, if I really understand that the way, if I really want to help people, I can go out and I can sell 10 max steps to 10 people. I've helped 10 people. But boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could get those 10 people to want to share it with 10 people. Now, the business part of that is simply building an organization to share with people. I think the big difference from that point of view, from just a product awareness, is simply understanding the way I can help the most people is by building a strong organization of leaders who care about other people. And if you get 10 people who share with 10 who share with 10, now you're helping thousands of people. And that's, I think, a big paradigm shift for a lot of people. And I know that this has happened with some of the new people, is they get so involved in just simply sharing the product, hoping that people buy a pair of match steps or a sleep system, they forget that what it is that gives people real... let me just make a point here, and this is just Larry Proffitt's point of view. I think that what we're selling, the most important product we have, is sleep. Now, what is it that gets in the way of good sleep? Sometimes it's being afraid of what's going to happen to my job tomorrow. Sometimes it's physical pain. Sometimes it's family relationships. Sometimes it's, I just don't feel like I'm doing as worthwhile. And I don't sleep very good. So if I understand, if I can find out what's getting in the way of you getting a good night's sleep, it could be anything from having a secure financial future to feet that hurt. And so I, you know, obviously I think we're selling sleep systems. The five pillars of health, when we, Mr. Masuda from the very beginning knew that if people were going to have peace and joy in their life, they were going to have balance in their life. And only one of those areas has to do with the physical use of our products.
Right. So basically, when you take a look at this, and you know, a lot of people, you've been around Niken forever, have had that thing where, you know, they have a hard time talking about the business aspect. It really just comes down to feeling that, hey, what I'm doing, I'm almost, it sounds to me like Niken is not gimmick-driven. Niken is truly a mission-driven company, and I think that started from our inception with Mr. Masuda. You knew him intimately. Was he a mission-driven man, or was he trying to just build a big network marketing company? And I know that's softball again, but I think it's important.
His whole philosophy, and I was around when he first got involved with the Mag Steps all those years ago, but his... The reason he chose network marketing was simply because of his love for people. He really personifies that statement in the monk who sold his Ferrari, who said, "There are few rewards in life that can bring more joy than bringing more than joy to another life, another human being." And that's where Mr. Masuda's whole thing was. He really had captured that. He really understood the importance of that. And I'll have to tell you this, as much as I knew him all those years. I never was able to speak to him in Japanese. He was never able to speak to me in English.
Really?
And yet, what happened, I was always through a translator, but I'll tell you, when we communicated one-on-one, you didn't need a translator. My wife is probably one of the best examples of this. When she first met him and she got that famous Masuda hug, she knew this was going to be our career forever because of the love of that man for another human being. But what he did is he surrounded himself with people like Mr. Watanabe, and there's hundreds of them that we can name now, who have that philosophy. They're not in this from a business point of view. Yeah, the business is what makes it possible, but what it's about is just loving people, caring enough about them. You know, what is it, the old Hallmark expression was caring enough to send the very best? Well, that's really what it is. If you care enough about people, then you want to make sure that you have the very best products, the very best business opportunity, the very best vehicle for helping them get what they want in their lives. But ultimately, it all comes down to helping them be all they can be. One of the things that Mr. Masuda believed from the very beginning, we had taught him about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know how many of you are aware of that, where he talks about it's a pyramid-type thing where the basic needs are physical needs, water, food, air. The next one is security. You got to be free from the elements. And then the third one is love, the need to be loved and love. And then the third one is self-esteem. But the very top of that Maslow's thing is what he calls self-actualization, which really means being all you can be. And when you get that opportunity to lift other people, to let them bloom and see them grow, and when they start to live up to the potential that they were put on this planet for, and they start to understand the power they have to change the lives of other people, boy, there's nothing that brings more joy than that. And that's why this company was founded from the very beginning. It gave the perfect vehicle for people to experience that idea of being all they can be. And when you have, I mean, and you've experienced it, Rick, and I know some of you others have experienced it, there's nothing, I mean, it's great when you become a silver or a diamond silver, but what's more thrilling is one of those people that you introduced to it reaches that level. That's when you know you're in the right business and at the right time, because that's what brings the chills down your spine, because of what they've become in the process of that growth experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you've been around the industry a while. You know, it's supposed to be our job to say how wonderful NECAN and how special it is, but it really is a unique and a special place, and it's worthy of being a part of. And, you know, you've been around a lot, Larry. Do you still, after all these years, see there's just something kind of, I don't want to use the word magical, but something really, there's just something different about this company, isn't there?
Well, it's unique, and I don't care who I'm talking to, what experience they've had in any other company. In a matter of minutes of talking to them, you can really discover what it is that sets this company apart from all the others. And I know it's because of the basic philosophy of which it was founded on, you know, the idea of really caring about people. I remember before NECAN arrived here, I used to do some consulting for people who wanted to get involved in network marketing. And one of the things on my 21-step checklist for these companies I was evaluating, very first thing was, what is the mission of your company? What is the philosophy? Because my mentor said this, the philosophy of the company is the mortar that holds the bricks of the company together. And I remember this one particular individual, I asked him the question, he says, what is your company's philosophy? And he looked at me really funny for a minute. He said, well, to make a lot of money, I guess. And so when I returned my evaluation form to that client, what I said is, this company will be out of business in 6 months. And it was, because it was founded on the wrong principles, on the wrong philosophy. And I really know, and it's because of how Mr. Masuda was trained and how he developed. He really understood the principles that make people great. And if it's not founded on correct principles, it can't make them great. And I know that's one of the big, big things about NECAN is the philosophy of the company. I don't care how you phrase it. If you really understand that slogan, humans being more, and you understand what has to happen for that to occur, then you understand you're in a cause much bigger than yourself. It's a mission worthy of your effort, as Dave Johnson likes to say. And I know that's true. It's just one of those things that fires the passion of your heart when you know you got that kind of an opportunity for people to get involved.
Awesome. I can't tell you how thankful we are that you're here tonight. And you know, questions are always kind of funny on a conference call, but this is an opportunity for you guys listening to speak to someone very special. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions, or hasn't this been awesome, you guys?
Very awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Anybody have any thoughts or questions we want to say before we wrap it up for the evening?
I think
this has been really great.
Good. And it's Rhonda Chicago. What do you want to say, Cowboy?
I just want to know, if there was one piece of advice you could say, and you couldn't say anything else, what would be the key piece of advice that you would give somebody that's trying to build this business? Just the one thing, if you couldn't say anything else.
Care about people.
Okay.
Makes prospecting easier, doesn't it, Larry, when you don't quite feel like you're trying to take something from us, but you're actually trying to give something.
Yeah. I know that's true. And at the same time, I know that, you know, it's that old story, love is a verb. How do you care about people? And that's where the old mechanism needs to kick in, because if your intention is really pure about wanting to help another human being, then, and that's why I say that's my advice, because then all of those things kick in, everything from what to say and how to say it and who to talk to and how to talk to them and what, how to get them involved and how to follow up. All of that comes when you, and in fact, my little brainstorming technique all those years ago, I learned it from Earl Nightingale's Lead the Field, where every day he says, take a clean white sheet of paper, write at the top what your goal is that day. Well, what I would write is I would write the name of the person that I wanted to work with that day, and I'd list 20 ways of what I could do to help that person. I did everything I could to just become that person while I was doing that little 15-minute brainstorming thing. And the only way you can do that is if you care about them. And then everything else just falls into place. I don't know how that happens. I guess it's when you understand that you know, that one of the songs that I just love to play to the Niken people is that ABBA song, I Have a Dream. And in that song it says, I believe in angels. And when you start to understand that you have the opportunity to be an angel in somebody else's life, an answer to their prayers, then the whole business shifts. It takes on whole new significance, and vehicles start to open up, and mechanisms start to appear to build this business that are just awesome.
Awesome. That's wonderful, Larry. So as you say, you know, you've been around for a long time, and must be really interesting to watch it from where you remember it, to see where it is and all the people that have been helped. For the people that are out there and they've got to do things in their life and they've got to arrange their life to build this because it's not net miracle marketing, is it worth it? Is it worth it, Larry, to step up and make the sacrifices you need to make to build your own home business?
I think the answer to that depends on what your vision and your dreams are. If you have big enough dreams, it's worth it. But if your idea is, well, I just want to get out of bed tomorrow, it's probably not worth it, because you're going to have some uncomfortable times. You're going to have those times that you know, it's that old story. Gibran put it this way in his book called The Prophet. He says, the mountain of your joy is determined by the valley of your sorrow. The amount of joy you can contain in your life is going to depend on how sorrow has etched your soul. Now, the way I liken that to our business is there has to be opposition. I have to have challenges, and I have to have opportunities to solve problems. And it's those things that bring you the most joy. You know, I use that metaphor of the mountain climber. Well, it's a lot of hard work to climb a mountain. Why don't we just helicopter you up to the top? No mountain climber worth his salt would accept that. And so it's climbing the mountain. It's a journey. And the destination will constantly be changing because our vision grows. And hopefully we never reach our destination because the journey is so fantastic.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be seeing you here in Austin in just a couple months with a lot of this team. And it's been such an honor to have you on the call. I don't have enough words to express our appreciation, but I think we're going to go out and do what we can do to build the Niken dream. You guys ready to do some great, wonderful things?
Let's rock.
Well, I really appreciate the invitation, Rick. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to seeing all your folks and getting a chance to meet them and hear the stories. I love the stories.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to seeing you soon. And once again, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us this evening, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Go for it.
Thank you, Larry. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Next week, we'll come back. Live team, look, we're going to get back on track with the live numbers next week, the accountability. And we're going to talk about organizational building so you guys can work smart, not just hard. I want you to work hard and smart. So does anybody have any questions, thoughts, or comments before we all get about our work?
This was a great...
Okay, well, as they say in southern Japan, you know how they say goodbye in southern Japan, Rick?
How's that?
It's sayonara, y'all.
All right, guys. Well, you guys have a terrific night, and... we'll talk to you all soon. If you need, look for an email this week. And don't forget about the Worldwide Wellness Preview on Thursday night. It's going to be a great one this week again, and I'm really excited about it. So, guys, have a great week, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, guys.